It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation. We're studying the second chapter, and we're just coming to the close of this, the middle of the second chapter, but the close of the Church of Pergamos. You'll find that at the 16th and 17th verse is where we're going to begin today, and then we're going to read on into the Church of Thyatira, which starts with the 18th verse. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 16 is where we're going to begin to read. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to visit our website, you can find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Or if you want to write to us, please write Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time now to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We'll begin reading now at Revelation chapter 2, verse 16. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that received it. Now on to the church of Thyatira. Verse 18. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, and to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I give thee a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, I will put up on you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, unto him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I receive of my Father, I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's begin with prayer after reading the precious Scripture. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can enjoy this time, do enjoy this time, coming together, studying your precious Word. Please, dear Lord, show us your way and show us your will. It's so wonderful to be a child of God and to serve you and to praise you and to be able to honor you. And I ask that we do that with our lives, with our voices. It's so important, dear Lord, that we all know you as our Savior, as our personal Savior. No matter what time of the year it is, what day of the year it is so important that we have asked Jesus to come into our heart to save us. Father, if those are the folks are here that are listening today have not done that, do not have that personal relationship, they have connected themselves with a church or maybe no church at all, what matters is our relationship with Jesus. Trust in Jesus as your Savior. Please ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Father, that's my plea with all that are listening, that they have that personal relationship. They realize that Jesus saves and none other. No church saves, no church doctrine saves. Nothing in our actions other than coming to you is the only way we can have salvation, have our sins forgiven, and be back in fellowship with you. So please, dear Lord, that come today with all that are listening. And then we begin true life, real life with you. And so please, dear Lord, grow us and show us your way and will as we continue the study of the Church of Pergamos and then go to the Church of Thyatira. Please guide and lead us now through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we're in Revelation chapter 2, and we have just read the 16th and the 17th verse. And the 16th verse, we've pretty well finished, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." And we have in the end of the book of Revelation him coming, and he is coming and going to slay, and he has the sword in his mouth, and we know the sword is the Word of God. And so be prepared to know the Word of God and find judgment in the Word of God if you do not find salvation through the Word of God, because one or the other you're going to possess, you're going to have. The problem we had with the Church of Pergamos was that Satan's seat was right there, and Satan dwelleth there, the Scripture said. And so we kind of have more than just this image of this spirit that floats around everywhere. God put in the Church of Pergamos two things, a seat for the devil to sit in and his home there, his dwelling place there. And he discussed all the things that they were doing, and it's sad because as the past church, they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. In this church, we find that they were involved with the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, and we've talked about that quite extensively the last couple of studies. So we're going to go on now to the 17th verse, because that's where we kind of ended, really. And so, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Now, we have that each and every time. We have it in verse 29 that we've read, and we've had it back in verse 11 that we've read, back verse 7 that we've read as we looked at the Church of Ephesus, Church of Smyrna, Church of Pergamos now. And so we're closing out the third church of the seven churches of Revelation. I don't know if you've ever studied it or not, but it's a super study. It's a beautiful study. It's a study of seven church ages. And so we have looked at that each time. And it closes out, it begins with an introduction of the person that's speaking, which is the Lord Jesus. And so we learn much of the Lord Jesus and who he is and his character and all about him in the first verses of each of these churches. But in the close, then he finishes with these same words, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." I hope that you have an ear. I hope that you're hearing. I hope that you're listening today. What the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so when the Lord Jesus speaks, why, he is using the Spirit of God to speak to the hearts of believers. That's the reason you need to be a believer. You need to trust in Jesus as your Savior. And when you do that, then you become a child of God, and the Spirit of God lives within your heart, and you can learn and grow in the Word of God. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows save he that receives it." Now that's quite a different thought there. To him that overcomes. Number one, salvation is free. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. I just hope that you have not been taught or believed all your life that you have to work at being saved. Now, we have talked about the different points of salvation because, one, the first, it begins here. You trust in Jesus as your Savior. You ask him to come into your heart and to save you. And when you do that, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has taken your sins away. In the Old Testament, they were covered. Since Jesus has went to the cross, they are taken away as far as the east is from the west. When you trust in Jesus as your Savior, that takes place. So to live for Christ, you get benefits. We get gifts, and those gifts and those benefits will be something that we will have. Eternity will give it to us when we get to heaven. not necessarily the minute that you die. There is the marriage supper of the Lamb that's going to go on during the seven-year tribulation. During that time, you will be given these awards or gifts for how you lived and how you served the Lord. It's got nothing to do with salvation. In other words, the forgiveness of sin and setting you free from the bondage of sin. It has everything to do with honoring and praising your God. And so we should want to do that. But if we choose to or choose not to, has no bearing on our salvation. We cannot work for our salvation to have our sins forgiven. We can't do that. A lot of people have problems with the term eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Call it whatever you want to. It's in the Word of God, and the Word of God is so clear. There's not another doctrine in the Word of God that's more taught or clearer than the very doctrine that once you come by faith to Jesus, once you call upon Him, He does the rest. He saves you, and He keeps you eternally. You say, well, how could He do that? How could He know what I'm going to do? How evil I may become? Well, you may become evil. With the Holy Spirit living within your heart, you for the first time have the strength and the power to be victorious over sin. Never before have you had this opportunity. Now that you're a child of God, you do. That doesn't mean that you'll always get the victory, because that old devil and old flesh just keeps a fighting and a fighting and a fighting, and a lot of times, many times, he seems to win. But even though he wins, what you lose is the rewards. You lose the benefit of being able to praise your God and honor your God as you should. And that in itself brings pain and suffering. It's going to be a sad day when you stand before your Lord and not have served Him the way you should have. But that's got nothing to do with your sins being forgiven. Jesus died 2,000 years ago for my sin. He didn't know. I was not born. He knew nothing of my sin up to the day I was saved and I asked Jesus into my heart. How could he have known the sins I'm going to commit? Well, most folks don't have any problem understanding that when I ask Jesus to come into my heart, he forgives me of the sins I've committed. Well, seeing how that was 2,000 years ago when he died, what's the difference of him knowing the sins that I committed up until the day I was saved versus the sins that I will commit between here and the day I die? What's the difference? God is all-knowing, and God's foreknowledge knew who I am, what I am. He did not force me to come to Him. It was my free choice that I trusted in Him. It's my free choice that I serve Him to get the benefits, to get the rewards that I may lay back at His feet in the proper day. But my sins are forgiven. Everyone I have committed, everyone I'm going to commit, he has taken my sin away. And so you see, he has not only saved me, but he has sealed me and he keeps me. And so with all that said, to him that overcometh, what is the overcoming? The overcoming is the flesh. There is going to be a special and a very personal reward. It's called this hidden manna, and a white stone, and a name written on it no man knows. Okay? Overcoming the world, overcoming the flesh, overcoming the devil is an individual matter. And it is overcoming. He that overcometh. Yes, my sins are taken away. But then the battle begins, because the Holy Spirit now sits on my throne. The King of Kings is there, and he wants to rule and to reign. But for so many years, the devil has had that position and had that honor in my life, if you want to call it that. Because there's only two, the God that created all the world and created us and saved us, and then there's the God of this world. That's the only two. And there's a lot of names to a lot of them. And a lot of people, when they change the name of Jehovah, they say, well, we're all going to the same place, just a different way. No, there is only one way. He said, well, that's pretty, you know, I don't know how you can be so bold to say that. Well, that's what the Word of God tells us. I believe the Word of God, the very book that has given us all this information of creation and salvation and everything, that's the book that tells us. That's the only book you need to look at. And I love the old King James. I don't leave the old King James. I stay with it. I don't read the other ones. I don't need to read the other ones. I have the book, and I love the book, and I study the book. And that's the Word of God, the Bible. In there tells us the Holy Spirit comes to live within. And yes, then there is a battle. And that battle then has nothing to do with whether I go to heaven or not, because I have my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's the only book that's important, the Lamb's Book of Life. If my name is recorded there because I have come by faith to Jesus, then I am going to heaven. No matter what. No matter what, I'm going to heaven. God seals me. God keeps me. And what a wonderful hope and wonderful security. And that just makes me want to love Him and serve Him and praise Him all the more, knowing that. And I hope as I work each day that I do continue to overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil. Some days I do very well, some days I don't. But I know I'm a child of God. That never changes because Jesus keeps me and seals me. The overcoming. Now, what am I going to get if I overcome? We must be overcomers. We need to be overcomers. Overcomers is something that's individual. It's all about you. It's all about me. It's not something that I can do for you. It's not something you can do for me. Now, I may be able to help you in your walk. But as far as the overcoming, that's up to you. That's up to me. The rewards here is called a hidden manna. In the Old Testament, manna is declared to be angels' food. In John, in the New Testament, it's spoken of to be the bread of God. There were approximately 12,500 mornings that God rained down upon the people of Israel when they were in the wilderness. Manna from heaven, fell from heaven down to earth. This manna that many are familiar with, that term, meant nourishment. It meant blessings from heaven. God fed them every day. On the day before the Sabbath, He fed them a double portion. That way on the Sabbath, they did not search after it, and it didn't come on the Sabbath. If you would try to keep more than what you needed for that day, it would spoil and rot and have worms. So God wanted me to see the lesson here that we depend upon Him every day. We depend upon Him every day, walk with Him each day. As the Israelites, as they were required to, because God just gave them that day's manna, that day's feeding, that day's blessing. Nourishment for the physical body. But what a nourishment and a builder of faith. Every day it was there. Every day. They didn't have to worry about the next day. And so this manna, now it's called hidden manna. Why is it called hidden manna? All these, for many years, after the tabernacle was built, and a lot of folks don't know what the tabernacle is. It's a tent-like building. It is designed to, built for the purpose of God coming down to meet with the people of Israel. And so it was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Most folks don't know that. It is one of the most beautiful pictures of our Lord Jesus. It's the most beautiful picture of our life as a Christian, begins at the brazen altar and goes all the way to the Holy of Holies. I love teaching it. I love it. Most folks don't even realize it exists. Many people that call themselves Christians have never studied the tabernacle and the picture that's there. And it is wonderful. And so please, someday, I hope that we can go through that. If you have not, go back into the book of Exodus and find where they got the law. And when they got the law, you're going to find the plans to the tabernacle. And so what a blessing. I think it's the trick of the devil that's never taught in most places. But in this tabernacle, in this tent, you have brazen altar outside, brazen laver, then you go into the first room of the tabernacle, the tent itself, and that's the holy place, and there's a table of showbread, and the lampstand, the beautiful golden lampstand, and an incense altar, and then beyond the incense altar, just beyond that, there's a veil. And that veil separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Inside the Ark of the Covenant was placed manna, hidden manna. So even after the manna stopped coming from heaven, it was preserved and kept there to remind the people of God's power and God's blessing and God's deliverance, God's nourishment, constant nourishment. And it was in a golden bowl, golden pot, in the mercy seat, under the mercy seat, in the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies. Now, it was kept there, and in that same cabinet was the Ten Commandments, the manna, and then the staff that budded. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time to explain that either, but they were trying to decide who should be the priestly line and the high priestly line, and God did not let that up to man to vote on. God chose him, and that was the tribe of Levi, and Aaron, Moses' brother, was given that position of the high priest. And so there's 12 tribes, and each tribe had a staff, a stick that they stuck in the ground, an old dead stick. And the one that was to be chosen would bud. Well, it not only budded, but also brought forth fruit. And so that was the choosing. And so Aaron's budded staff, the Ten Commandments, and the manna were placed in there. That's all that was in this Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. And so it was kept there. It was hidden. It was hidden there for years and years and years. The manna of old, it rained down from heaven, again, for the purpose of blessing and the purpose of satisfying their hunger, their physical hunger. This hidden manna, as we serve Him and praise Him and do everything that we can do for Him, those that overcome, we're going to get a special blessing that's going to satisfy. It's going to be a blessing from Him, and it's going to satisfy us physically and spiritually. It's going to be a wonderful gift. And it's like this hidden manna. It's there. It's going to be given to us in heaven. It's awaiting us for whoever overcomes. So we spent a lot of time talking about that, and then I don't think we're going to get to the church of Thyatira today. But the rest of that verse then talks about not only hidden manna, but also a white stone. A white stone, a new name written on it. Now, this white stone was used for many, many things. It was used in social activities, and it was used for judgment matters, for judicial situations. When there was a great feast, great festivals, it was always noted by a white stone. If there was a disaster, a great calamity of that day, it was always noted as a black stone. So you see the white stone, it was a festival. If it was a black stone, there was something of a great tragedy that happened. Also, if you were invited to someone's home, the host would show their great appreciation for your presence by at your place where you were to sit, there was a white stone. And with that stone, there was a name written. Nobody knew it. It was a special name given to you by the folks, the owner of the house, the folks that threw the party that had the feast. That name was chosen and given to you as a special guest, and no one was to know it. No one would know it before and even after. No one was to see this new name. And so not only was you shown great honor by the white stone, but then there was a message or a name written for you, not to be shared with anybody. Also, with the court system, if you were acquitted, it was a white stone. If you were condemned, it was a black stone. So the white stone means victory and complete acquittal, set free, victory. And the overcomer, he that overcomes will receive that white stone. They'll receive the hidden manna, special blessing there, special gifts here, aren't they? Hidden manna and a white stone means victory. We're set free, and we're going to receive a new name, nobody knows. What a beautiful picture there. Let's read once again verse 17, chapter 2, Revelation verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written. And it was the same way here, because when that guest got to that place, the name was written on the stone, a new name written, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. So the giver and the receiver was the only ones that knew of this new name. What a great honor is shown to the ones that overcome. So I hope that you learned something of how God cares for those that serve Him. I hope that you've learned today that there is a difference between working for your salvation, being saved, having eternal life, spending eternity with God. That's a gift given to you by God, not a universal salvation. There's a choice to be made. Will you trust in Jesus as your Savior? Will you ask Him into your heart to save you? If you will, then you possess salvation, and the Lord Jesus will keep you. He has saved you. He has brought salvation into your heart. You know, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. All our works are just filthy rags. Why do we think there is something that we can do to keep ourselves after we've trusted in Jesus? Why do we think that? Because it's not true. There is nothing we can do to keep ourselves. We have to trust in Jesus as our Savior. He will save us, and He will keep us. And then, if we overcome, just overcome the old flesh, we won't lose our salvation if we don't overcome. But look at the gifts and the blessings that we'll get if we do overcome. Let's be overcomers. Let's serve the Lord. Let's praise Him. Let's honor Him each and every day. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?